All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Father, we thank you for the communion. We thank you for the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus. And Father, we specifically look at the different things that happened to his body in his passion, his perfect sinless body. We know that Jesus never sinned once. There's no sin in his body. And there's no yeast in this bread. Father, we thank you that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. The Bible tells us that he was beaten for our iniquities and bruised for our shortcomings. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that he took stripes on his back for our healing. He was so viciously whipped with that cat of nine nails, and that was for us. And his body was pierced. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for that. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Father, when he was on that cross, the full wrath of your fiery judgment was laid on him. He took every sickness, every part of the curse, every disease, everything for us. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Did you notice that tastes kind of salty? That's a good thing. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that that perfect, sinless blood of Jesus was shed for us, and that it's still alive and it's continually cleansing us from all sin. We thank you because of this blood, we can enter boldly into your throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And we thank you that this blood of Jesus shed seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, I told you there were some things that had been hidden from us and we had been lied to about, and how King James came up with that book called Demonology, and he went after all these oils and minerals and different things, and things that were meant for us, that were good for us. And then they decided that it was taboo and that we needed to stay away from it. When I noticed that bread tasted just a little bit salty, I remembered God specifically said to season every sacrifice with salt. Every single sacrifice with salt. See, salt purifies. Salt preserves. See, we're there. That's one of those things that I had only heard one preacher ever talk about salt. In all of the meetings I've ever been to, I've only heard one preacher mention salt. And he mentioned it when dealing with covenants, different covenants. He said, you know, if you could separate, they'd mix salt. And he said, if you could separate what salt goes where, then you get out of the covenant. There's so much more to that salt than you can even imagine. we're going to learn about it. It's not today, but I just thought it was kind of cool when I tasted that salt on that, bread. And in fact, they specifically said take that bullock to the priest and have him sacrificed, and have the priest season that sacrifice with salt. Jesus is very, very much the bullock that we look to. You know, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Jesus, and the bullock is one of those. Let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 7. And our number 15th thing that happened when Jesus was on that cross... See, there are 16 of them. There's nothing that irritates me more than the devil taking something from the church and twisting it in a way that the church wants to stay away from it. But, you know, numbers and minerals and different things, they were meant for the church. The devil just twisted it. The 15th thing that we're looking at is a way for the full endowment of power and full anointing of the Holy Spirit. We'll start off in Galatians chapter 3. I'm sorry. We'll go to Galatians chapter 3. But this is the thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power, the endowment of power to live victoriously in this life. This is the endowment of power that you receive to go out into the mission field. Not only is it an endowment of power for you to live victoriously in your own life, but also to go out there and help people get set free. Because you're not going to operate in the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, gift of miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. None of these. The supernatural faith, you're not going to operate in any of those without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of my biggest pet peeves is somebody will be lined up to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they'll really need this. You know, they'll be really wanting it. And some preacher will say, you can't be a smoker. You can't be a dipper. You can't be a this. You can't be a that. You can't be a this. And they'll just disqualify all of these people that are standing in line that desperately need that so that they can stop being a smoker, a dipper, a this or a that. They just disqualified them as if anybody could ever be qualified to receive anything from God on their own merits. Galatians chapter 3, I better get over there myself. But yeah, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We should have these verses underlined, colored with your favorite crayon, circled and highlighted. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus got on the cross and he paid for our breaking the law so that we could receive everything that God has to offer us. And, you know, the first time I read that, them verses, when I first found those, I thought, man, that's my bird nest on the ground. I can get out of poverty. So I went and I told this pastor friend of mine, and he said, no, that's just spiritual things, nothing else. But then I found verse 29 later on, said, if he be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're more of an heir to these promises than the Jews are. We're Abraham's seed through faith because of Jesus. That doesn't mean you're a Jew, but you're the seed of Abraham. Amen? But you receive the promise of the Father. That's a big thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has been muddied and kicked around so badly and so abused, and there's ditches on both sides. You know, there's a group that thinks you need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can swing on the chandeliers, run around church screaming, shouting hallelujah, jumping across chairs, and being crazy and wiggling around on the floor, and that's not God. And then there's a group that says that's from the devil. Well, I can see sometimes how they get that idea. But what we're talking about for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the endowment of power to go into the mission field and deal with people. See, there's a whole world out there that desperately need people to get this endowment of power so they can go out there and minister to them and get them set free. You know, you're not going to cast out devils without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've talked to a lot of different missionaries in my time, and I can immediately tell what side of the line they stand on. If they come back from the mission field and they tell me how hard it was, they tell me how much work it was, they tell me how frustrating it can be sometimes, they tell me how all this negative stuff, I can tell right there. And they always come begging for money. They have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But those Spirit-filled ones, they come back from the mission field. They come back saying, man, that was a rocking good time. You should have been there. You should have seen all this stuff. Some of them, one guy I read about, he was having such a good time, the natives were chasing him through the jungle. They finally caught him, and they tied him to a tree, and they were going to just kill him right there. These guys were headhunters. These were man-eaters. And he said, well, what else are you going to do? So he just started speaking in tongues, and they all got born again. See, I've had people tell me, said, we're very charismatic. And usually when they say that, I start kind of getting a little bit on edge. And they say, we want to see all the gifts of the Holy Spirit working inside the church. What they're talking about is in here. Not where they're supposed to be. Out there is where they're supposed to be. They want the preacher to give them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or work a miracle in their life or operate in faith for them, which is not God's best. See, as much as I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's not His best for you. See, His design for you is to have a one-on-one fellowship and receive directly from Him. You know, just cut me right out of the deal. You don't really need me. You can receive directly from the Father. You are His child. And He wants to have this one-on-one fellowship with you. See, that's how He designed this thing in the beginning. He had Adam and Eve in the garden, and evidently He walked with Adam in the cool of the morning through the garden. And they fellowshipped one to another. And then sin broke that fellowship. Now, it took God a long time to get back in contact with his people. It took the blood of his son. But Jesus broke the curse. He broke everything that was wrong between us and God and made things right. So now we don't have to have an earthly priest get us in contact with God. We have Jesus as our high priest. He gets us in contact with him and receive whatever we need from him. See, we don't have to have a priest or a pastor or anybody else pray for us to do that. See, that was Old Testament. The children of Israel, they would tell Moses, you go ask God what we're supposed to do. And then for a long time, they'd have to have the high priest. The high priest would have to hear from God. Or a prophet would have to hear from God, go tell the people. That's not God's best for you. Jesus got on the cross so that you can go right into God's presence. Now you can go right directly to God and you can receive the answer that you need. You don't have to have anybody else pray for you to do it. I've had a lot of people say, I want you to pray for me and see if this is what I'm supposed to do. I had a preacher, and this guy would fight you over every one of the doctrine that would come down the road. He'd say, I want you to pray for me and see if it's God's will for me to be in the cow business. And I said, I'm not wasting my time. But see, unfortunately, there's pastors that will jump right into that circle and play that role. And that's a bad, dangerous place as it gets into spiritual abuse, you know, of people. And people will start depending on their pastor to get the answers that they need from God. I knew a young guy. He met a girl, and man, you could look at him, and I thought, man, those guys need to be together. And he went to his pastor and said, is this the woman I'm supposed to marry? And he said, no. And he come up and told me what he found out. And I said, what are you doing asking him? And I mean, this guy had such a reputation. These people treated him like God almost. He was in the middle of that circle. Everybody go say, is this what I'm supposed to do? One guy went and said, am I supposed to go to the mission field? No. Well, he's making good money with this construction company. So he's paying good tithes and offerings into that church. No, he ain't supposed to go to the mission field. So some 12 years later, he called me and he said, I sold my company and I'm going to the mission field. I said, well, you're right back to where you were 12 years ago. Sell it and go. But see, these people go ask the pastor for every step, every major step in their life, and it's really none of the pastor's business. Did you know that? It's none of the pastor's business. If God tells you to go to the mission field, it's none of the pastor's business. Now go tell him so he doesn't think he just fell off the edge of the earth. He'll probably bless you and try to help fund your mission trip. But that's the way a spirit-filled pastor looks at things. It's an exciting adventure out there. And they want to help you. They want to get involved in it. You know, sometimes people think, well, this guy's going to be mad at me, so I ain't going to tell him what I'm doing. They just disappear. And it's like, pastor's sitting there, well, I wonder if pigs got him. You know, wonder what happened. He's just gone. No, go tell him. I'll tell you what happens when you go tell your pastor what you're up to and what you're going to do. A lot of times they'll just bless you, not only spiritually, but financially. You know, pastors look out for people. They want to know how people are doing. Now the baptism, not only the baptism, but all blessings, including the baptism of the Spirit, come through redemption and atonement. How could God give to fallen, rebellious man on any other basis? See, Jesus got on the cross, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he put us into this new covenant of grace, which means everything we're going to receive from the Father is because of the Son. Amen? There's a lot of people trying real hard to be blessed, trying real hard to receive things from God, trying real hard to qualify to receive things from God, trying real hard to earn something from God, and they're just wasting their time. I know they want it, they're earnest about it, and they have their heart right, they want the right things from God, but they're trying to earn something that God has already given them. All we can do is receive it. Always remember that guy on the cross next to Jesus. His nails were in his hands too, and in his feet. He couldn't do anything. All he could do is call on Jesus. And he made it to paradise that day. The Bible tells us, all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And that's not just born again. See, we got to remember that big word, salvation. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." See, nobody had full access to the Holy Spirit until Jesus went to heaven and sent Holy Spirit. See, that had to come first. Jesus had to be glorified, and he had to be in that throne room. And that's when he became the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Now this rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. You have a world of knowledge inside of you. You have a world of comfort inside of you. You pray that up through tongues. See, a lot of people don't like this idea of praying in tongues. Some people think it's of the devil. God doesn't give you anything evil. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is of God. It's his best for you to receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we can pray answers up from the very core of our heart, the very core of our being. We can pray those up in tongues. We can pray guidance and wisdom, comfort, peace, anything you need. You can pray it up. You know, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is inside of you. You know, God lives in there. He's in there. Look at Luke chapter 24. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of, let's see, this is in red. So this is Jesus speaking. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be endued with power. See, he told quite a few people to go to that upper room. Wasn't a whole bunch of them made it. But the ones that did make it were men and women both. They all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But see, since the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet, that was the first time he got ushered in, he came on them. But now when you get born again, you get your spirit renewed and the Holy Spirit comes up upon you. Comes up out of there upon you and actually anoints you. That's the endowment of power. You get anointed. See, in the Old Testament, some kings and some prophets would get a measure of this. But some priest or a prophet would have to take a horn of oil and come pour it on your head, and you get that anointing. And that oil flowed down over your head, down in your eyebrows, in your mustache, and down your shirt, and down your back, and you're anointed. That was an Old Testament anointing. But now the Holy Spirit comes upon you and anoints you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. See, now this kind of bugs a lot of people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for your own entertainment. See, a lot of people want to receive things from God just for themselves. I'll be okay. No, you receive things from God so that you can share it with somebody else. You can help somebody else. See, he told the early disciples when they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, said, now you go out there to the ends of the world and be witnesses unto me. Well, they made it to the edge of Jerusalem. Did you know that's where they made it? That's how far they went until they got scattered. The Roman army come in there and scattered them. They started persecuting them. And then they sure enough went all over the place. Sometimes it takes us some uncomfortable circumstances to get us to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So right there, that shows us two different baptisms right there. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, there's that group of people that was focused on the king. And they were having a really, really hard time receiving from the Lamb. And then Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice he threw in Samaria. See, even Jesus, he said, he even told his disciples, said, yeah, you're going to go to the unlovely places in witness. See, Samaria, that was not where anybody wanted to go. The Jews would go out of their way to not walk through Samaria. But Jesus said, you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go to Samaria. Today, he's saying, you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go talk to the drunks and the whores and the hookers and the drug dealers and whoever happens to cross your path. They all qualify for salvation. See, there's a lot of confusion in this. There's some people that, I had a guy tell me he was called to witness to the extremely rich. Really? A guy, there were several people said they were called to go preach to the PBR, or they were called to go preach to the PRCA rodeos, the big ones, you know, or they were called to go preach to this group of people. And I was volunteering to go down to the county jailhouse, and I was going to the flats in the middle, and you know, I knew people that wouldn't even stop in the flats. They were too afraid to go there. And I kept asking God, I said, where am I called to go to? And pretty much, if it qualified for a bloody lip, fat lip, I was called to go there. Because these pastors would call me to go there. And there were some people actually got mad. Because they didn't get sent to some certain place. Or they didn't get sent to do this. Or they didn't get sent to do that. And I thought, well, you know, I just went home and I told God, I said, I'm going to be right here working. And you know where I'm at. And if you want me to do something, just let me know. And so he'd tell me to go do something. I'd pick up and go. That's the thing, is being willing, being available. When you get the indwelling of power, you need to be available and you need to be willing. A lot of people shout, use me, Lord, use me, use me, use me. And he calls them and said, okay, I want you to go over here. And they say, well, I got to work. I can't go over here for a week. I have bills to pay. Now I have a mortgage and a pickup payment, and I have this, and the kids need braces, and got college, and I got. Are you willing and available? See, that's where the rubber meets the road, right there. Everybody wants to be used, but they want to be used on their own terms and their own schedule. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but God, he's not on our schedule. He's got his own schedule, and we're supposed to blend in with his schedule. And he's not going to blend in with ours. Amen? Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. See, it's Jesus that administers the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Preachers and believers, they baptize in water. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. See, that's the one baptism that's needful for salvation. To be born again. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. But Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Now, ministers and believers may pray with somebody so that they can receive the Holy Spirit, but it's not us that's giving you the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus. He's the only one that can do that. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Now, I talked a lot about identity. And see, Jesus identified with us. He was found in the flesh as a man, wasn't he? He came down here on this earth and lived just like us. But he also found himself in the Bible. Did you know that? He opened up the scrolls to the book of Isaiah, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. And this is what he said right here. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And everybody shouted hallelujah right there, didn't they? No, they took him to the cliff. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. They didn't want that. This guy, he read the Bible to them, and they hated it. You know, we still got people in those shoes. You read the Bible to them, some very religious people. You read the Bible to them and they hate it. That's not good. You know, we went to a church in Wyoming. We were going to be there for a while. I was going to preach there for a while. And one of the very first things that I did was, we preached on the Word of God and that God could not lie. And I said, we're going to agree the Bible is the truth, right? So we agreed on that. Said, if Jesus said it, that's the way it is. The Bible said it, that's what it is. So we're going to agree that this is the Word of God and it's the truth. Whatever we come across in there, that's what it is. So these Southern Baptists learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hold the Bible up to them and I say, look, that's what it says right there. And most of them would shake their head and say, yeah, that is what it says. Some of them would see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was a few old hardliners that got mad and didn't want nothing to do with it. But look, we need to believe what the Bible says. We need to believe what we read. Too many people will read what they believe. If it matches their doctrine, they're okay with it. If it doesn't match their doctrine, they shun it. That's not good. You're letting a man decide what you're going to receive from God. See, I was very fortunate in the fact that the Holy Spirit got me to read the New Testament several times before I started getting involved in church. So I got inside of me the truth. So when I ran into false doctrine, I'd get that check and then say, no, 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 no. Stay away from that. It took a while to find a church that would actually preach the truth. You know, if most people are honest, they'll understand that the Word of God is offensive to the flesh. The Word of God is offensive to the flesh. When I first got born again, I thought, you know, I did what a lot of people do, just crack the Bible open to a verse and read that verse. So I'd open that Bible up, read a verse, and I'd close that thing up, and I'd go, oh, I don't like that. That didn't agree with my flesh. Well, I had been living in the flesh for so many years that when I started reading of the Spirit, it was like, I knew I was born again, but it took a while to get my mind renewed to the Word of God. There was a lot of things that I thought was right that were wrong, and a lot of things that I thought were wrong that were actually right. So I noticed that God's Word never did change to fit my situation. He's not going to change to fit your situation. The Word of God is not going to change to fit your needs or your desires. The Word of God is always going to be the Word of God, the way it is. Besides that, God's not the one that needs fixed. That would be us. Amen. Look at John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, the last verse we just read really describes us. See, Jesus, we know that he was a righteous man on this earth. He never made a mistake. He was in right standing with God all the time. And he went down to the River Jordan and he got baptized. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he went out and started doing miracles. See, the Bible tells us that when we get born again, we get put into right standing with God. And then it tells us to go get water baptized and then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then get water baptized. The first thing that's needful is to get born again. Well, see, once you become a man in right standing with God, then you qualify for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And notice, Jesus never done one single miracle until he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The apostles never did a miracle until they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 12, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a big statement. You know, I remember I kind of got the idea that I read that God was no respecter of persons. So then I got the idea that maybe, you know, if Peter and Paul or some of these other preachers could do it, then I should be able to do it. So I go talk to a pastor and they say, oh, that preacher, he's got a special anointing. Or this pastor's got a special learning. Or there was always something special about these pastors or preachers on why they could do it and not me. And I didn't accept that answer. And then I got a little bolder with my questioning, and I said, you know, if Peter and Paul could do it, I should be able to do it. So I started asking these pastors that, and they'd stomp their feet. They were apostles. And I thought, well, maybe. Yeah. Then I ran into John 14, verse 12. This dispels anything. This qualifies everybody. It dispels any false teaching about any special anointing, about anything else. This is Jesus. This is the greatest faith preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Right here, John chapter 14, verse 12, says, "Verily, verily," in the oil field, we say, "Wake up and pay attention." Says, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me," well, are you born again? Then you're a believer. You believe on him. "The works that I do, shall he do also." What works did Jesus do? He did a lot. He did a lot. He raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. The blind people saw. The deaf people started hearing. The mute started talking. And this is a big thing. And you guys do it all the time, whether you believe it or not, or know it or not. But Jesus manipulated the weather. Weather manipulation is no new thing. Jesus manipulated the weather. Remember, he stilled the storm. He calmed the sea. He told the weather what to do. Now, if you're walking around saying, "Well, it never rains in the desert," guess what you just did? You manipulated the weather. You spoke a curse over this land. You didn't cuss. I know you didn't say a cuss word, but you're cursing. There's a lot of Christians who say, "I never cuss." But you curse all the time. You curse your family, you curse your kids, you curse your job, you curse this, and you wonder why you're broke. Watch the words of your mouth. The Bible clearly tells us that a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. So we can walk around blessing the land by saying, you know, God causes me to lie down in green pastures. Said he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out to give the rain unto my land in his season. What would be wrong with calling this place a High Sierra, which is what it actually is? This is a High Sierra. Did you know that? This is a High Sierra. But there's people in this town that will fight you tooth and nail to cause it, to call it a desert. This is not a desert. If you want to see a desert, I'll take you back home to Wyoming, where they have a real desert with one of the biggest living sand dunes in the nation. That's a desert. You run one cow to the section, not 13. This is not a desert. You got to get down out of the mountains, go to the desert. This, bless this land. See, you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for so much more than just feeling good and laying around in bed praying in tongues, shouting hallelujah. We go into all the world and preach the gospel to the poor, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. There's a lot of things that come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And blessing this land, will be a really, really good start. Amen? Thanking God for rain that's on its way. Praising him. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. We praise your holy name. And Father, we thank you for your promise of rain that you've given us. You told us to ask for rain in the spring, and we have, and we continue to ask you this in faith. We receive your abundance of goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your blessing of rain on our land. Bless the work of our hands. Cause us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside the still waters. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.